Now today I want to continue from the last month. I talked about the blood of Jesus. How many of you can remember that? Okay, let me give you a quick reminder. Let's talk about Adam and how the first man was created. Because last month's topic was the life of a flesh is in the blood. How many of you remember that? Open to Leviticus quickly. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 17, verse 10. And let me read it to you so you know what we're talking about today. Are you there yet? Leviticus is the third book of the Bible. And whatever man of the house of Israel or of a strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood. How many of you know it's illegal to eat blood or drink blood? Okay? It's sick, yeah. Thank you. Listen to what God says. I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among my people. So God says, if you eat blood, then you will be cut off, meaning killed, from God's people. For the life of a flesh is in the blood. Now, how many of you know that we as people are tripod being? We're spirit, soul, and body. Each one of these three have their own life. How many of you know that spirit has life, your soul has life, and your flesh has life? What is the life of your flesh? We just read it. Now, blood is not life, but the life of a thing is in the blood. So inside of the blood, there is life. Let's read it again. Okay. For the life of a flesh, not of the spirit, not of the soul, but of a flesh. What is the flesh? Is this physical thing. This suit I wear. Not my suit, but, you know. Hallelujah. Now, how do I know that all three of these have their own individual life? Let me prove it to you. When a person dies, and some people don't want to let him go, we know that spirit and soul depart, but you can still keep the body alive for a period of time, on life support, on air ventilator or whatever. So as long as you continue to run the blood in a person's body, the flesh will live for many years. We've heard stories of people going into coma, and for 10 years they're still alive, but there's no brain waves, and I don't think the spirit is there. And so they eventually let him go of life support. We know that your flesh could live without spirit and soul. Even if they leave, you can still live. Now, let's talk about the soul. Can the soul live by itself without your body? Of course. Your soul either goes to heaven or hell. Your body doesn't follow, and your spirit does. It's interesting something about the spirit. In Ecclesiastes, it says something like this. When a person dies, let me read it to you quickly, okay? You got time? The best bands are playing at 6, I think, so we got time. But I want to just... All right, no, we won't go that long, but... Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, listen to what it says. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Okay. So even if your soul goes to hell and your body is decomposed in the ground, the spirit continues to live. Now, your soul has a choice, right? That's why people sell their souls to the devil. You cannot sell your spirit to the devil. You sell your soul. You cannot sell your body. Well, you can, actually. But usually, body is connected to the soul. Or body is connected to the spirit. Whichever it is. Amen? You can live by the spirit, or you can live by the flesh. Flesh meaning soul, emotions, desires, pleasures, and on. Now, in Leviticus, do you still have Leviticus? Leviticus 17. Let me read this again. For the life of a flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. So notice, your spirit never could get dirty. Because the spirit in an unbeliever is dead. Now, we know that the spirit is not dead, but it's dead to God. So even if unbeliever dies, his spirit goes back to God. His soul goes to hell. Because what is soul? Soul is like a hard drive from your brain. Okay? Your brain is temporary drive. Your soul is the hard drive. And your soul keeps memory. So although, and Bible says every word that is spoken, a man will give account. Why? Because although you forget it here, because this is temporary drive. Some of us really have a temporary. But your soul is a spiritual brain. And it keeps all the information. Bible says that there's books that are writing everything. There is a video camera on your life from God. Everything you see, everything you do is being recorded inside of you. So when you go before the throne of God and you are not washed by the blood of Jesus, everything you did in this earth will be uploaded. You'll remember everything you did. And they said that in hell, people remember. In heaven, people remember. Lazarus and rich man. Remember that? The rich man remembered everything. He knew that he had brothers on the earth. Okay, so you understand that spirit, soul, and body, they have needs. Your spirit has a need. What is the need of the spirit? Can anybody help me out with this? To be fed spiritual food. Your soul has a need. What is the need of the soul? What's that? Soul food. Okay, soul food. Hallelujah. What is soul food? Music is soul food. Conversation is soul food. Relationships is soul food. You know that you can be very rich, but unless your soul is satisfied. Okay? Soul food is a beautiful scenery. When you see something beautiful, guess what happens in your soul? Oh. But when you see everything ugly, 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 you're like, something happens in your soul. I need to see something beautiful now. I need to see something, you know? So that's soul. Soul can also be fed good food or bad food. Soul can be fed on gossip. Soul is like, it's neutral. It's what you feed it. You feed it spiritual food, it'll be spiritual. You feed it flesh, it'll be flesh. Okay? Alright? Hallelujah. Everybody get it. So gossip is soul food. I believe that addiction is a soul food. Good addiction and bad addiction. Know that inside of every human being there's a compartment. We want to be addicted to something. We want to be addicted. And God gave us the habit or addiction part so we can be addicted to Him. And what devil does, he makes us addicted to something that satisfies for a moment. And that's why people, you know, go and spend thousands of dollars gambling. And then leave there just totally destroyed. Totally broke, you know. Because gambling is the devil game. And he is going to win in his own game. But addiction part, guys, it was given by God. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. You think devil gave you a compartment for addiction? Devil didn't give you anything. He can't create anything. Okay? So what he did is, he only perverts what's already in you. Anger is good. Jesus got angry. But he says, be angry, but do not sin. Crying is good. Tears are good. But devil can make you really cry in prison. Your soul you can feed. Music. Christian music. Or devil music. Yeah. Your soul you can feed. Good conversations. Fellowship of the believers. Or you can feed gossip. Now let's talk about physical body. Your body has a life too. And that's in the blood. In the blood. Why is it so important? Why am I even... See, I want you to understand something about the blood. That's what I'm talking about today. And especially the blood of Jesus. Your body has a desire for food, for drink, and for sleep, for satisfaction, for relationship, right? Your body wants to have intimate relationship someday, young people. But even that is not enough. You can have relationship physically, but unless you have soulish relationship, you don't have anything. But you can have physical and soulish, but not have spiritual relationship and be empty on the inside. Oh. So you see how they're three connected. All three of them must be satisfied for you to be happy. And most people, they satisfy themselves on the physical level and on maybe a soulish level, but never on the spiritual level. You see what I mean? And that's why they always seeking and they try new things, new experiences, but it's never enough. Open to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And we're going to talk about Abel. Second man who was born on earth, Abel. Hebrews 12, 24. My subject today, are you pleading the blood of Jesus? before we're going to read this, I want you to know that you can know everything about electricity, but unless you switch the light, you won't have any light. You'll walk in the darkness. You can know everything about the blood, but unless you use it, it's not going to work in your life. How many of you know that the blood of Jesus has great power? Yes? You can know that, but unless you use it, nothing will happen. Do you remember in Exodus, God said to Moses, he said, put the blood on the doorpost of your houses. So when I come through to destroy every firstborn in Egypt, I will not destroy your houses. Listen, they could have known that information, but unless they did what God said, the angel of death would have killed their firstborn. If the blood of a goat or a lamb was able to cover the whole house from the angel of death, what about the blood of Jesus? Hebrews 12:24. Let's read it. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. Last month we talked, the blood has a voice. Open now to Genesis chapter, keep your finger on Hebrews, but go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Do you remember both Cain and Abel, first two men, two sons of Adam and Eve, brought offering before the Lord? And God did not accept Cain's offering, but he did accept Abel's offering. Okay? And so Cain really got mad at Abel. You know, usually when we're mad at God, we take it out on people. Oh, think about it. Write it down and then just think about it at home. I don't have time. Anyway, verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel. What did he talk about? Ask that question. His brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up again against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So the blood has a voice. When a person sheds innocent blood, that blood has a voice to cry to God. Okay? That's why the people who commit murder, they cannot live a peaceful life anymore. Bible says they will always be watching behind their back. Because a man who sheds innocent blood will have blood on his hands. We hear from history that Pilate, you know the Pilate who crucified Jesus, who was the governor in Judea? The history tells us this. Remember he washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of this blood? History tells us that he moved upwards to England areas. Okay? And he moved there but he started washing his hands every 5 minutes. He saw blood on his hands. Now, a murderer always has this, something is following them. Something is following him. So when Abel was killed, his blood started crying out to God. Listen to what God said. God was sitting in heaven, angels, you know, enjoying themselves. People were on earth, you know. And here, a voice cries out. It pierces through skies, through the clouds, through the universe, and goes right into the throne of God. And angels stand. What's going on, God? What happened? What is happening on the earth? Because, understand, they never seen this before. They never experienced. Angels didn't know. And God says, what is going on over there? And God looks down and sees that a brother is killing his younger brother. Because he's jealous, because he's mad at God. He must have beat him up a little bit because he had to shed blood. Because the blood was speaking. The life of a flesh is in the blood. So Abel's blood was crying to God. What was Abel's blood saying to God? Do you want to know? Well, it wasn't saying, forgive my brother. I could imagine, because it wasn't. No, let me tell you for sure. It wasn't saying, forgive my brother. I can actually say that Abel's blood was saying, especially before he died, it was saying something interesting. It was saying probably, Cain, watch out because God is going to punish you. So the blood of Abel was not crying for forgiveness. Now, why are we talking about Abel and about Christ's blood? What is the similarity here? Because in Hebrews, we just read that the blood of Jesus speaks greater than the blood of Abel. So we need to first understand what was the blood of Abel saying so you can know what the blood of Jesus says. Guys, because unless you understand, unless you have a revelation of the blood of Jesus, it will be useless for you. So you get in a sticky situation and you don't know. You just heard, well, use the blood. You know, we all grew up in my family, I know my parents taught me, whenever you get in trouble or wherever the devil attacks you, you gotta say, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. I grew up like that. But see, I didn't understand what it mean. So when the devil would attack me, I would say the blood as many times as I want to. But because I did not have a revelation of it, it was useless to me. Revelation, listen to me. Revelation is light. Okay. You remember the seven sons of Sceva, the high priest? Paul writes about it. They came to people who were demon-possessed and started casting them out. And the demon got so mad and said, listen, I know Paul, because what did they say? We cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Not my Jesus, but So the demon said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And he beat him up. He beat everything out of them. They ran out naked. Yeah. What's the point? You can know the ritual of something. But unless you have a revelation of something, you will get beat up by the devil more than you came. So you can say, the blood, the blood, the blood, and start putting it everywhere in the corners and everything. But unless you have a revelation of it. And those seven sons of Sceva did not have a revelation. They got beat up. See, we think it's just, okay, oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, so devil can't touch me so. I don't think so. You must have a personal revelation. This word, it kills, Bible says. But the spirit of this word gives life. You must have a revelation of the blood. Today you will have a revelation of the blood. So, what are we talking about Cain and Abel? They got in a fight and the blood was crying out. So, you must have a knowledge of the blood and you must apply the blood. Some of us Christians, we have some knowledge of the blood, but we never use it. We get into trouble, our families get attacked, our emotions get attacked, our passions get out of whack, anger starts taking over, you know, whatever you're dealing with. Okay, so now let's talk about what are the similarities between the blood of Jesus and the blood of Abel. Ready? Let me see, the similarities between Abel and Jesus. Abel lived a righteous life. Jesus lived a righteous life. Abel was betrayed by somebody closest to him. Jesus was betrayed by who? One of his own, Judah, with a kiss. That's not what a kiss is for. Abel was beaten till the blood started coming out. Jesus was beaten till he shed all of his blood. Abel was killed by his brother. Jesus was killed by his brethren. You see the similarities. Abel did not resist his brother. Jesus did not resist his brother. Now, what are the differences? You ready for this? Because this is where revelation is. Abel's blood is crying something. And it's crying revenge. Paid back. Now, let me show you where I get that. Open to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Revelation 6, 9. I'm coming to the best part. All right. 6, 9. And when an angel opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge or revenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. So what was Abel's blood crying? How long before, because he's one of the righteous who was slain. He was the first righteous who was slain, right? The blood of the righteous. He's the first righteous. He was representation. He was a metaphor. He was a symbol for Jesus dying. Did you know that? So they're all crying, revenge, God. Revenge. Revenge. Now, another question. So we know, you understand that it cries revenge. Even in heaven, it still cries revenge. I guess in heaven, you can cry revenge. Because on earth, Bible says, don't ask for revenge. God will revenge himself what he wants to. But in heaven, I guess you can say, God, revenge. If you've been slain. Yeah. Different rules, I guess. Now, what is the difference? When Abel was dying, he probably said, God pay Cain for what he did. That's what Abel said. But when Jesus was dying, he said something interesting. Before he released the Spirit, he says, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. If a child is doing something stupid and they don't know what they're doing, you kind of blame the child, but there's something behind that. They did not know what they're doing. So what Jesus cried and what Abel cried, that's why the blood of Jesus is stronger and better than Abel's blood. Now, one more question. It says that the blood of Jesus speaks better. Next question, who is it speaking to? If the blood of Jesus speaks, then who is it speaking to? The blood of Jesus is speaking in three areas. First, it's speaking to the devil. Second, it's speaking to God. And third, it speaks to our conscience. Let's go with Satan first. How does the blood of Jesus speak to Satan? And what does the blood of Jesus speak to Satan? Okay, let's say you're in a situation and you're alone and the pressure, demonic pressure is so strong and the spirit of suicide comes and says, you better kill yourself because that's it, it's over. And it's so strong you almost believe it. What do you do when something happens to a children emotionally? What do you do? What are you doing when you have babies and they're sleeping and the devil comes to attack your children? What do you do? Devil can attack. If he can attack you, he'll attack your children. Yeah. Yeah. There's been moments I had to run in and as soon as I walked in Alex's room, I could feel that there was an attack there. What do? When you freaked out, your hair is standing. What do? And you know it's not physical. What do? And pastor's phone is not answering or something. You need to know how to plead the blood of Jesus, but you need to understand what it means. So when you plead the blood of Jesus, it speaks, right? It has a voice, the blood. What does it say? If it doesn't say revenge, what does it say? Well, it speaks to Satan. And it says, you are responsible for destruction. It speaks and tells him that I'm forgiven. The blood right away begins to speak to him. Don't touch. This is my property now. Because I bought that person who is pleading the blood and his family with this, with the blood. So Satan could not touch you if you plead the blood. See, a lot of Christians, this is what happened. Let's say you are in a market square, in downtown. There's police officers and everything. And a thief comes and starts robbing you and you stand there and there's a police officer right there. And you, what do I do? That's how most Christians are. We don't know what to do. Okay, let me give you another one. You have a phone in your house, right? And you probably have the 911 button in your house, right? And it's like having somebody break into your house and you're running like a chicken without a head. Oh, and the thief is breaking in and you don't know what to do. The blood of Jesus is like that 911 thing. What thief would want to get into your house when he knows the cops will be right there? And how many of you know that angels of God much faster than cops? Hallelujah. So when you get attacked in your life, especially spiritual, you begin to plead, the blood. And Satan is not stupid. He doesn't want to be tormented before time. So guess what he has to do if he doesn't want to be tormented? Leave! Woo! Yeah. You see this? Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So the blood says to Satan, you better not touch this. This is my property. We've been bought, the Bible says, with a price. What was that price? The blood. And our life is hidden where? In Christ. In His life. His life becomes our life. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. If you don't use the blood, it's like having security in your car, but never turning it on. And you're living in a bad neighborhood, and we are living in a bad neighborhood. Not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, the devil is roaming around. All kinds of spirits. You have to push that alarm. So when the enemy touches, he sees that light blinking, the blood, the red. Right? How many of you got security in your car? That's what you need to do even before you have a thief coming in. You need to plead the blood of Jesus today, so that when the devil comes tomorrow, he'll see the light. Oh, it better not touch him. Or if he tries to touch you, oh, you know what to do. Alarm goes off. The voice starts shouting. Note, the blood has a voice. How many of you know that when you were a kid, this is what my parents used to teach me. We lived in a country where there are a lot of people. And so when somebody would start talking to you and say, come here, sonny. You know, you were 10, 9 years old. My mom always told me, start saying, people help me. If ever you make noise. Whenever somebody is attacking you in a crowded place, you make what? Noise. You don't just go quietly. Yeah, I'll go. Girls, you make noise. Help! Guess what? Whenever you get attacked, you make noise. And it's not your own noise, it's the blood. Because it's not so much the blood of Jesus, it's what it's inside of it. The life of every flesh is in the blood. So the life of Jesus Christ, physically, is in His blood. Now, theater, come here. Come here a second, theater. Stand right there, right here, and face people. Do you remember the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. How many of you know that on the cross, there happened a great exchange? My sins were put on Him, and His life was put on me. Do you know that with Him we died, we were buried through baptism, and we resurrected? Okay, listen to me, because there is a point, you don't want to miss this. I was guilty, you are guilty of sin, of murder, of adultery. Our whole generations, our families are guilty. What Christ did, He came and lived a perfect life. And He made an exchange. Okay? So let's say I have done something stupid. And I am having a death penalty. And theater says to me, I want to exchange lives with you. So guess what happens? Theater, you come here. And I go in his place. So now, who is getting death penalty? He is. But guess what? Jesus never finished his life. Do you know why? Because if Theodore paid for me, for my sins, guess what I'm going to do? And we exchanged lives. We didn't exchange places. We exchanged lives. Then now I don't live my life, but I live Theodore's life. Because Theodore never finished his life. He went and died for me. So Christ never finished his life for a reason. So you and I could finish his life. No longer I live. I can't be like I was here. I took his life. Even I took his last name. I took his parents. So these are now my parents. I have the same father now that he did. Because why? What happened? It's not my life anymore. I'm living his life. The reason Christ didn't finish life and shed his blood so he can buy you and stand in your place so you can finish off the glorious life that he lived. No longer I live, but Christ that lives within me. Hallelujah. Do you feel this? Oh my goodness. Thank you, theater. Give him a hand. So the blood speaks to me. That's the second point. It speaks to myself. What does it speak to me? It says, don't forget, you're not living your own life. Because you've died to yourself. You're living whose life? Christ's life. If He did that for me, I guarantee you, I don't want to live my old life. So theater, what grade are you in? Fifth. So now I'm in fifth grade. All right? And he's now running my business or whatever, you know, and he's a pastor of the church now. See, you remember what, do you understand what exchange means? So that's what Christ did. He took our sins and our life, and that's why he says, when you're buried in baptism, you give up your life. That's a symbol. And you arise for a new life in Christ Jesus. So guess what? When the devil comes to attack you, and when you plead the blood, you're saying to him and to yourself. You know how many, a lot of times we fight with ourselves. A lot of times we condemn ourselves. A lot of times we make ourselves feel guilty. And when we plead the blood, it speaks this. You don't live your life. You're finishing off Christ's life. He didn't finish, so you can finish it. Remember he said, the works that I do? Oh, you will do and greater than these. Because you got to finish it. Jesus just started. We're going to finish it. That's why it says, if you lose your life, you will find a new life. If you lose your life and then get the same life, it's not losing your life. Because you have the same life. But if you lose it, you'll get a new life. So what you do to the devil, when you know who you are, you're saying to Satan, and actually you're saying to yourself, I've been adopted as a son now because I exchanged my life with the son, so I became their son. And if Jesus' son is who? God. Then whose son did I become? Exchange, guys. Exchange. See, you get in revelation, and inside of your spirit there's light. The light is coming on. The Bible says you are the light of the world. Not physically, but inside. Your spirit is getting fat. It says to you, whenever devil attacks you, it says security. Security. All things work out for good. Security. And at the end, it says not guilty. When devil says you're guilty, look what you've done. You say, no, I'm not. I have perfect life that I exchanged for, so I'm not guilty. Not guilty. Pardoned. Pardoned. Jesus on the cross said, forgiven, 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 forgive. You know that last wishes of a dying person is always granted? Even in prison, when they execute a murderer, they still grant him his last wish. They do. So guess what the last wish of Jesus was? Father, forgive them. Do you think God answered Jesus? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So what it means, when you plead the blood and devil says anything against you, or when you come up with stupid things about yourself, self-consciousness and all these things, you said perfect, bought by the blood, forgiven, saved, secured, security, no doubt, and at the end heaven. It says to God, you know what the blood says to God? God, you can't be angry at them anymore. Because He has made peace between us and God by His blood. So guess what? God is not mad at you anymore. No, He's not. Even when you mess up, you plead this blood. God knew that when you get saved, you're still going to sin. And probably till the last day of your life, He knew that you're still going to sin. But that's where the blood comes in. Hallelujah. Last scripture and I'm done. And they shall take some of the blood. This is what's your part, people. Do you understand now what the blood says? It speaks to you. It speaks to the devil. To the devil it says, don't touch. Because if you do, you're touching my property. You're stealing. And God says, I'll put you to prison. It's like a cop. You remember. And then to God it speaks peace. God, we got peace. Sins are forgiven. Everything. And this is what you should do. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost. And on the lintel of the house is where they eat. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. How many of you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? The word that applied to them then applies to you today. Now, the ball is in your court. What are you going to do with this? You know about the power of the blood. There's much more. Because Bible is living. It's always new. It's always new. But to this day, you know what to do. I recommend you plead the blood not only your house, but over your car. You plead the blood over your school, over each of your children, over yourself. Plead the blood over your mind. Because Bible says it frees our conscience. How many of you know guilty conscience? You know, that's doubt. But Bible says plead the blood every area of your life, on your husband, on your wife. Plead the blood. And if you go somewhere, I said, God, I plead the blood. Protection. Hallelujah. Please stand.